You are now online with Andrea, with your host, Andrea Garrison.
Good afternoon. Welcome. You are now online with Andrea. I am your host, Andrea Garrison. I'd like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. Today we are featuring the debut solo release premiere, and our guest is singer, songwriter, Jonathan Cavair. Welcome, Jonathan. How are you today?
Hey, Andrea, how are you?
Yeah, it's a real pleasure. So this is exciting for you, your debut solo release, and you didn't waste any time. You're working on more material.
Right.
Yeah, we're enjoying this one, Jonathan.
Well, I gotta have stuff in the queue, you know.
Yeah, so that's exciting, though. I mean, how ambitious that is to come out with one and then get right into it and start working on another.
Yeah, I think I've had a lot of material over the years that I can pull out, and then as I'm working on a song that may have been around for a while, sometimes it inspires me to write a brand new song, so it just comes in waves sometimes. And typically what we're doing right now to fill in between CD releases is we have this new thing that we just started. It's called Cavair Covers, where once a month we'll drop another cover song where I'm doing a song by somebody else. And recently, in the last couple of weeks, we dropped Save a Prayer by Duran Duran. So that's now out on iTunes and Amazon and everywhere else. And then coming up is later this month is The Flame by Cheap Trick.
Wow. So how do you decide when you want to do covers? How do you decide on, because there's so many great songs out there and so many great artists.
Well, when I go play live, some of the kind of upscale wine bar places that I play, they like to hear a combination of my material and some familiar songs by other people. So I just decided, well, since I'm in the studio, when I play live, I have some subtle backup tracks that help make the song sound interesting when I go perform it live. So not every song is just a singer acoustic guitar from one song to the next that can sound kind of boring. So I have some backing tracks that go along with the song. I thought, you know what, I should probably just record these all the way through, do the vocals and mix them. And I had a meeting with Chip and Chris over in LA, and we were talking about it. I said, you know, why don't we just do one a month? And then Chris had this idea, hey, let's just call it the Cavair Cover Series. And so that kind of, it was just an organic conversation, and then it became this thing that that we're doing now. So just started it. The first two songs are ready to go, and it was really just songs I've always liked. Songs that resonate when I play them live, songs that people like to hear, and I, you know, get a reaction when I go play them live. So I thought, okay, I should release those, and then people can go check them out online as well.
Yeah, that's great that you can create music and put it out there, and also you get the opportunity to play in front of a live audience. What a wonderful thing that is. Because we hear so often from a lot of the artists that a lot of the venues for performing live are kind of disappearing. So it's great to hear that
it's
you're...
true, and I've had the same problem. So I had to kind of get creative and retool my live act to work in places that I thought would make sense for music. So if you can imagine like a nice wine bar, or some of the sports bars are okay, but there's a lot of distractions with the screens. And sometimes those sections where that works quite well, but, you know, there's certain venues that make sense when we need to set up with just a small setup in the corner, and people just start drinking their drinks and having their bistro dinners and stuff. And they end up just enjoying having music in the background. And you have to, I had to retool. So I don't have a drummer playing behind me where you have to play larger places. It's usually just myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I love dinner and music. I think it's great, you know, to sit down, have a nice meal, and then to have someone serenading you. I think that's wonderful. And it is a business, too. And so you were quite creative when it comes to, you know, developing music and then with putting your music out there. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think the technology and all the revolutionary stuff that's happened in the music business has evolved to the point where someone like me can create. You know, I have a pretty nice rig at home, and I can get material that I've always, you know, I'm somewhat prolific in terms of getting songs recorded, and I train with a lot of different producers that taught me how to do all the studio work, and I can basically be self-contained and get a song done from beginning to end by myself. Every now and then I'll bring in musicians just to spice it up, but generally I can do it by myself. And then to have the ability to save it digitally and then upload it to my little record company, CD Baby, and then they correspond with all the online retailers and have it out there for digital distribution. Also, there's physical distribution associated with that. And then have my my collaboration with our PR company in Hollywood, Miles High, really allow fans to know and extend out to fans of say, okay, here's some new product that you might be interested in. We cross-promote with different fan sites and such. So it allows someone who's self-contained like me to get all this kind of stuff done. Whereas before, you really had to rely on a large organization to get it out there.
Right. Yeah. And that's great that you're able to do that. So tell us about your first most significant memory of music.
I think it was probably, you know, I picked up guitar. I talked about this in a couple of different interviews, but I think the answer is the same general answer is that I picked up guitar in junior high, and I had the instructor actually lived across the street. So I thought if I had trouble with trying to learn that I can go knock on his door and bug him and teach me outside class if I mowed his lawn or something, right? And so I took guitar lessons, and then soon after I joined up with a couple guys in school, and we performed at a talent show dressed up as Kiss, and we did Rock and Roll Night, and we won the talent show.
Wow.
But the funny thing was after we were done is that no one knew it was us because we had the Kiss makeup on. So we went to school the next day and no one actually even knew it was us that ended up winning.
That's great. I love how enterprising you are. You're so practical. So you end up playing the guitar and you chose it because the instructor's right across the street. I love that. That's great. You are resourceful, right?
Yes, but then, you know, what happened was we got into high school, and my brother was a couple years younger, and, you know, he started playing bass, and we found drummers, and we started playing different bands over the years, and it was always funny because when we were teenagers, we were always playing these bars where we're basically too young to get in, but we can get in to perform as long as we stay backstage all the time. We couldn't actually go out into the bar at all.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. So tell us, who are some of your musical influences earlier on, and who are some of your musical influences now, and who is your greatest musical influence?
Okay. So early on, it was a lot of rock bands that were out at the time. We liked, Kiss, Cheap Trick, the Scorpions, and then soon what happened was the second British Invasion bands from England came over and a new wave kind of movement happened. I was working at a record store in high school and all these bands started, their albums started coming through. And I was the inventory guy and I would check them in and look at all these new albums that came out from England. And then we would play them on our record player in the store and start getting exposed to bands like Duran Duran, The Fix, Human League, not only synthesizer kind of bands as well. Duran was more of a hybrid, so was the Fix, but some of the other electronic bands, Japan and David Sylvian, we were influenced by them because I started to play keyboards soon after those bands came out. So I combined my guitar playing with keyboards and really combined the heavy rock influence with the new wave influence. And that was a band that we had when we were teenagers, and we had that kind of sound. And it was sort of like Billy Idol was popular at the time, that had a similar sound. And then bands now, honestly, it's kind of funny because I have a playlist on my iPod that I basically call Pop Tarts. I like a lot of female pop singers, Lady Gaga. I like there's a lady named Leon. She's from Sweden. She has a couple of she has like an EP with a bunch of hits, like Katy Perry. Love Taylor Swift, but I think what's common in all those is really hooky songwriting that is, I'm always a sucker for a hook. So those are the kinds of bands, Jason Derulo. I listen to those bands now, along with the classic bands I always liked when I grew up, when they put out new releases, like Duran put out a new album, Cheap Trick has a new album. We just saw Heart has an excellent new album. And some of the bands that I liked all along still put out new material. They may not always be as popular as they once were on the radio, like some of the newer bands are, but the new material is excellent. And so I always find that to be inspiring. But I think probably the band that stayed with me all along, the most influential band, if I were to pick one, it was probably Duran Duran.
Okay, Duran Duran. Yeah, that's great. Now, tell us about iTalk. You were a key performer in the pop duo iTalk.
iTalk was my brother and I. A lot of times it was me. I had different versions where he was down in Arizona before I moved down to Arizona. I was still in California, and I worked with other guys as kind of guest musicians. It was really a centerpiece, a platform for the songwriting that I had been doing at the time. And different players were in the lineup for different live gigs that we do throughout the years. But generally it was a venue or a platform for original material. We did some covers, played a bunch of different shows. And then when I moved to Arizona, it was going to be a solo album back then, but then my brother found out about all the musicians I was going to work with, all these rock star heroes that we had when we were kids. And he said, hey, I want to play on this. So I said, okay. So it had been a couple of years since you actually been in the version of iTalk. So we kept the name and had a number of awesome special guests flow over the next 10 years in and out of the recordings. And then it was somewhat organic. I was in my regular songwriting process. Maybe this was your follow-up question. Why did I go solo? I'll just go ahead and segue into that if I can. What happened was I just had a list of songs that seemed to work well as a collection and with a common theme and a common voice throughout. So I had it set up just to be a group of songs that I just decided, you know what, I think I'm just going to release this group of songs, and decided that I was going to use my own name. But then my attorney and I were looking at my name, and he said, you know, your name's taken by three other people. You might as well come up with a new name here. So I tried a couple different names, and the name Kaver was a name that we came up with when we were kids, when we were teenagers, is, hey, make believe what your stage name would be. So we came up with these silly names, and I ended up just adding the Jonathan part. So it was kind of a silly thing out of necessity just to come up with a name for myself, because my real name had been taken by three other people.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So tell us, how do you develop your own sound, you know, after listening to so many people and being influenced by so many great musicians? How do you develop your sound?
That's a really good question, because I've been influenced by so many, it would be natural to do a song that sounds like almost identical in style and feel and stuff. But very early on in the iTalk recordings, once I moved to Arizona, we worked with this drummer, Steve Jansen, and he gave us some advice. And, you know, he was a very popular drummer in a band called Japan out of England. And his brother is David Sylvian. It's funny because a lot of Americans don't know who these two guys are, but they're actually very popular in Europe and in Japan. But they would come to America, and there was a group of artsy kind of people that would follow them around. They'd sell out their little theater shows and stuff, and they're just fantastic musicians. And he gave us some advice, and he actually played on two of our iTalk CDs back in 2002 and 2005. Having this guy play drums for us was a dream come true. And he gave us some advice, and he said, try to find your own voice, your own sound. Yeah, you can be influenced by different people, just like they were when they were growing up. They liked the New York Dolls and the Stones and all these bands. But they found a way to develop their own style, their own sound that was uniquely theirs. And so I thought that was, I took that advice to heart, and I thought it was really good advice. So he kind of helped us with his drum programming, adding to what we already had as a style of just adding acoustic guitars with some atmospheric keyboards, with the drum loops and stuff that he would add, and that inspired us to do a similar kind of drum programming later on. And so it's really just a combination of listening to artists that we liked over the years, trying to combine that with something that we heard in our own heads and the songs that we heard and resonated in us, and combine the two. And by working with Steve and Ida Davies from Ice House and the guys from The Fix, what they brought was the level of professionalism and influence that was always there, but took our sound in a different direction when you combine it with what we already had going. So I think it progressed somewhat organically to develop into its own sound without us deliberately saying we're going to go off and march this way.
Yeah. Now that's interesting, because you just shared with us how you started developing your own sound. But now my next question is, how do you reform your sound? Because in your bio, and this stood out to me, it says that you have reformed your musical identity. So tell us about that. You know, how do you go beyond where you are at a certain point? Because I know that you probably have heard artists, and they continually put out, you know, great music, but it sounds a lot. It sounds the same or very similar. So how do you go beyond that and create, number one, you created your own sound, but then how do you reform it so you're constantly reinventing your own sound?
I think what happens is, well, I deliberately pulled back on all of the overproduction and large amounts of instrumentation that was going on in some of the iTalk recordings to really focus on the lead vocals straight up, and also some of the acoustic guitar work. So the songs would essentially be singer-songwriter sounding acoustic guitar and vocals with accompaniment in the background. Every now and then I get a little self-indulgent and bring out a lot more instruments on a couple of the tracks, but it's generally a deliberate attempt to make the vocal more of a predominant instrument than the overall production that you heard in the iTalk recordings. But the other part of your question was to stay away from the trap of sounding the same over and over again is, I think I work within a confine of the singer, songwriter, guitar, vocal, but there's so many sounds available with all the instrumentation that I can use in my computer now that it's, when I add all the other elements of guitar effects and keyboard atmospheric string sounds and other stuff that can whirl around the listener's ears as they listen to headphones along the drum loops and stuff, it makes it difficult for the song to really kind of sound the same because there's so much variety that you can add if you're deliberately listening to the songs and the tracks to try not to make them sound the same. You can do that pretty easily by just selecting different sound patterns.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, but it's a challenge, right? I mean, but that's what creativity is all about, right?
Well, yeah, and I think there's probably a core of maybe three different styles that I work within, and then each of those I branch off a little bit. You know, there's the more upbeat kind of poppy songs with some horns and stuff like that, and maybe some plucky guitar parts. Then there's the really kind of stripped down, slow atmospheric dwelling sounds, kind of like you hear on Sedona, maybe even the instrumental Jupiter or like Lightning in a Bottle. And then there's the ones in between that are kind of mid-tempo songs, like Comes a Moment, Girl, Are You in Love, from the CD. And you can kind of, when I put those in those categories, you go, oh yeah, I can see there's really three distinct different kind of genres or tempos that are worked on.
I love it. So there's a method to the madness.
Kinda.
Yeah.
I don't know if there is up front. I just, the song comes and eventually I put them in a collection that ends up with those three general types in there.
Right. Yeah. So tell us about Premiere, because we've been just teasing the audience, so we need to start playing some music. So why don't you tell us about the making of Premiere?
Yeah, I mean, it was that thing I mentioned about the collection of songs.
Right.
But most importantly, I think something new that I would say is I really wanted to have a collection of songs that were heartfelt and weren't just, you know, love songs. I wanted to write about a couple of different topics or different different relationship aspects than I had in the past, and kind of go over some new territory. For example, Sedona, it's about going to the galleries and checking out the weird rocks and stuff up in the area in Sedona with the red rocks and how it's all mystical and stuff like that. So rather than writing a love song, I wanted to write a song about the experience of going to a place and kind of some of the things I observed while I was there.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's other songs that are clearly love songs, but with a different take.
Yeah. With the Caver way. I love that name, Jonathan.
Thanks.
So we're going to start out with, why don't we play two tracks, January and Hope. So what would you like to share about these two tracks?
Sure. Yeah, January is a couple. I made an intentional decision to write a song that was, the words were delivered enough where you could take it a couple different ways. And if you take it as a relationship that is new and is fresh and new, or, you know, the beginning of a new year and renewal. And so that's what January is generally about. I wanted to leave it to the listener to decide which story resonates with them. And then Hope was about when someone's dating and you think they're the one and they're not, and you're hoping the next one will come around with that smile and that face and that feeling that you were longing for.
Ah, beautiful. Well, January and Hope. Thank you.
Eastern out haunting me. I'll make a new stop and heal my heart this January. January. January, I'll be keen again. January, I'll redo the end. Hear the fog, now the past is gone. Lonely hopes in front of me. Ghosts are not haunting me. I'm making you start. Heal my heart. It's January. 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 He is my resolution. I change my constitution.
Shot in the dark.
It's not too long,
not too long.
Nice. Hope.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I really like the way that trails out there. Very nice.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And the next two tracks we have are Time Will Tell and Comes a Moment.
Yeah, Time Will Tell is funny because I wanted to write a song about kind of like Hollywood starlets that are on the top of the world that actually have a tough time keeping someone in their life. So I came up with a couple of different phrases, and that was generally the idea behind the song. Back in the time when I thought of some of the moments back in sort of when Madonna was going through Men, and kind of came up with some phrases, and that was that song. Comes a Moment is about parents coming to grips with the idea of their child getting older and almost out of the house and questioning whether they've done a good enough job raising them and unleashing them into the world or not. So that's what those two songs are about.
Okay, great. Well, here we go with Time Will Tell and Comes a Moment.
Two decades gone by, doesn't feel that far. Help us now, we're feeling lost. Years fell aside, now we're counting the cost. Forget the past and what you know. Fight your fears and release your hold. You're never really ready for. There comes a moment to let go. There comes a moment to let go. Grow up fast, so cherish the lessons last. Did we give her what she needs? Changing life can be scary. The newfound dreams mean liberty. Help us now, we're feeling lost. Years fell aside, now we're counting the.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Comes a moment to let go.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice. And so true. Lyrics. So is it very easy for you to write lyrics?
It comes in different phases and different ways. It doesn't always come easily. Sometimes it just flows, and in the overall songwriting process, sometimes all three pieces, the lyrics, the overall emotion and chord progression, along with the melody, all come at once. But sometimes it's helpful to write out some scratch or basic lyrics so that when I'm writing the melody or the chord structure, I have some lyrics where I don't have to try to make them up at the same time. So it just depends on whether it's going to come clear. It happens sometimes, but often it can be work.
Yeah. Now tell us, you're a professional tennis player, and you say that practicing and playing in tournaments is the fountain of youth.
I think so. I mean, for me, I started playing tennis later than a lot of my colleagues who play, and I really gravitated towards it and fell in love with it and got addicted like most tennis players who play all the time. But I think what happened was I played so much that I lost about 35 pounds, and having the weight come off and the overall health and how I felt. I felt like I kind of was able to keep my look and my age kind of locked in a certain time frame and hold off time a little bit. So that's why I say that. Due to that, and a good dermatologist can help those things.
And some good genes. You got some good genes in there too.
thanks. Maybe a good surgeon. I don't know. But, yeah. But thanks a lot. I mean, I'm for bringing that up. I think it's helped my voice as well by running around so much on the court. I think it's made me a little bit better singer.
That's interesting, because I was going to ask you, and you can elaborate, how does tennis impact your music, and how does music impact your tennis?
I think, the singing and playing on stage and the all the rehearsing I'm doing now, physically I can get through the sets. I have a number of sets I play live. I can get through those physically easier, but I honestly think that music provides a good escape from tennis, especially after a loss, because you lose a lot in tennis. This is the way it is. You don't always win, and the losses sting. So it's nice to just escape it and do something completely different. And for me, the something different is something I've been doing since I was 11, 12 years old. Like the guys I play against, they've been doing tennis since they were that old, when they were just kids. So for me, I go back to something that, hey, I'll go do something I've been doing as long as you've been doing tennis, whatever, and I'll go do that. So it's a nice escape.
So music heals you.
It does.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like I have a little more confidence around it after I get my confidence checked and I play someone who just absolutely kills me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. The next two tracks are Burning Away and Are You in Love?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about those.
I will, yeah. Look, those two songs. Burning, I think, is a song about if you're in the middle of a tough time or a trial and tribulation, to know that it's going to pass and you have to look forward to what it's going to feel like when this is behind you. And it's just understanding that you're in that moment now of transition, of changing your mindset, or maybe maybe your old life or decisions you're making are so life-changing that you're in the middle of it, but soon it'll be past you. And then somewhat related, I guess, I didn't really think about it this way, but the song Are You in Love is about a relationship that's ending. And you can tell when, you know, your partner doesn't want to hold your hand anymore. And maybe she's looking the other way or whatever. And so that's what that song's about. And just wondering, hey, is this over or what? Mm. So those two songs, I think, kind of go together.
Yeah, and that's funny. Isn't it funny how you spend all this time developing the music and you're still discovering things about it yourself?
Yeah, I think that's one of the fun parts about music, is it's always kind of evolving.
Yeah. Well, here it is, Burning Away and Are You in Love?
Lights me with light, the stars rising far under a cold night sky. I burn away the dark within, paralyzed by my fears and sins, standing on the line to begin a new life. Burning away to clear the way. Burning away, you always remain when my whole life fades away. Mm-hmm.
glow. The shadows loom, they burn away, perched from the south. Cup is full, filled with light. Closer still, joy fills our lives. Saved by the other worlds in your eyes. Burning away to clear the way from day. Burning away, you will always remain. When my own life fades away. Burning away to clear the way for the day. Burning away, you will always remain. My own life fades away.
You don't want me to see. is on your sleeve. It's my time to leave. Oh. Oh.
Thanks for playing my songs.
Yeah, it's great. It's nice listening to them. So how has music helped you to develop as a person?
That's a funny question. I think most musicians, if they're honest, they will say that music is a bit of therapy. It allows them to get out what's kind of trapped inside them. Sometimes they write about stories that are about a fictitious situation or about somebody else's situation, and sometimes it's about our own situation. So I think it helps.
Yeah, I think so. And it's you bring out so many of your deep thoughts, don't you think?
I think so, yeah. And sometimes in a safe environment where you can kind of put it into a story that may not reflect on you, but it could be your deep thought, yeah, that can happen.
Yeah, it probably is. It's interesting. So what do you want people to know and to understand about your music?
Well, hopefully the messages in the songs resonate with them such that they find that the songs can be sort of background music to their life, and that there's a common chord that struck between the songwriter and the listeners, and that they find that the songs are kind of like they have an affinity for them, and they're like best friends that are always with them.
Yeah. Well, the next two tracks are Found You and Lightning in a Bottle. I like that.
Yeah, Found You is taking the perspective of fast-forwarding years later. Some of these other songs are about moments in time or reflecting on past experiences. Now, I found you, I've been married over 20 years, and I look back now to the moment where I met my wife, and sometimes when you meet somebody or you're dating somebody, they either bring out the best in you and you can become a better person, or it can have the opposite effect. And sometimes people, you don't always, you're not always the best version of yourself with someone that you're with, depending on how you match up. But with her, I became much more than I ever imagined I could be because her belief in me, and also just our teamwork together. So that's what this song's about. And then also Lightning in a Bottle is about a place where I've worked, and the product is about, it's like a cancer treatment medicine, honestly, and it extends the life of patients, and the medicine helps people, sometimes can cure people, and the song was just about what I work with and how what we're doing makes a difference in so many people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah, found you and lightning in a bottle.
After all these years, when I hold your hand, it seems like it was yesterday when you took my breath away. When I found you, when I found you. Trojan horse moving through the night. A silver lining ready for the fight. Preparing the way for the ones to live another day. Lightning in a bottle, I felt lightning in a bottle, I touched lightning in a bottle, working day and night, 'cause the duty calls. If the alchemy fails, lightning in a bottle, I've touched lightning in
Wow, I really like that. What a powerful track that is.
It's kind of moody, kind of scary.
Yeah, it really is powerful. Love the music. The next two tracks are Pearl and Promise.
Yeah, Pearl, I'm not sure if you've seen the video that we did in Malibu and in Hollywood, but that's on our website, TheVeraMusic.com. And that song is about, I kind of embellished the story a bit and sort of the director when he made the treatment for the video, but the song is actually about dating a couple different girls until you find the one that's the pearl. And the video is about kind of another fish in the sea kind of theme where there's like a guy playing a younger version of me, and we glitch back and forth between me and him throughout the video, where he's being thrown back into the ocean to go try to find another one for him. And then Promise is about just that, about vows in your making your vows and all that. So that actually just filmed a short performance video up in Northern California, and that will come out sometime in a couple of months. And that was filmed in what's like a bridal try on your dress kind of area where you they try on the dress and there's mirrors around up on a little pedestal kind of thing. And that's where I filmed that video. And that song was a lot of fun to film with the director who did the January video as well. So those two songs actually have videos along with them, along with the January video at the top of the track, top track on the CD. Becomes the moment we're filming a video sometime in November. So that's always a fun thing now to make videos to go along with stories that are in the theme of the songs as well.
So typically, how long does it take for you to make the video? On average?
The filming can be a day or two. But then, you know, leading up to it, where we're doing casting calls, we're doing pre-production meetings with the crew, and then, you know, once we have the cast, then we have to kind of understand what they're going to do, and all the scheduling, and then after we filmed, it's a matter of doing all the post-production and editing, and then having it in a, you know, medium that we can actually post to YouTube and other such places. So the actual filming is pretty quick. Getting what you need for the post-production editing is really the trick, and that's why the directors are so good at utilizing their experiences and skills and their eye to see what it is they need to capture on film so it'll be usable in post later on. And I really learned a lot about that process this year. I really just did live videos before with the band and such, but this is the first year I've done all these videos. I've learned a ton from the cast and the crew and the directors of photography and the grips and the directors themselves. And they just have taught me so much about the process that I really appreciate what they do now. Didn't have any idea of really what they did before.
Yeah, it adds a whole nother dimension to the music, don't you think?
It does, and I was a child of the 80s and the early MTV era, so I'm always thinking about the imagery that would go along with the song. I just never really put it together to get videos done, and now I'm really kind of addicted to it. I love having that story, the visual story, to go along with the theme of the music.
Yeah. Is it work to you, or is it just fun?
It's totally fun. Some parts of music are work. Like when I'm in the studio editing fine little guitar strums or vocal breath noises that show up between words, and those audio janitor kind of things that I call them, and I do all that kind of work as well. That's tedious work. But writing the song, tracking the instruments, having the CD physically delivered in my hands, getting a video done, working on the video, watching the other people, that's not work at all. That's totally fun.
That's great. It's great that you love what you do. And it shows. Don't you think it helps the creative,
I hope so. Yeah,
the creative process when you love what you're doing?
I think it does show. I think you're right. There's an inherent passion that comes through. I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's a good feeling. So we have Pearl and Promise.
All the other girls are prompted by memories of yesterday. I thought I'd tell you what I'm thinking. There's no reason it can't fly on the wind. When we play this game, we play to win. We made a promise to hold on to. Keep it sacred every day. I'll take you anywhere you want to go. These feelings will remain unchanged. Turn your fears into warmth and embrace. This is our hope.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
I love the closings on your songs. Really, really beautiful. Really very nice. Do you have anything to share that we have not covered, and any closing reflections?
I think those who like the material, it would be nice if they check out the website and follow all the latest happenings there. And that's kavermusic.com, because we're always posting new things with new activities, new songs, the covers, like I mentioned earlier, that we're dropping, but also just activities going on and following on Facebook and on Twitter. There's always something that we're commenting on, and there's always something going on with the Kaver brand. And so, and watch the website for shows and new videos will be posted there as soon as we book a bunch of shows coming up.
Ah, that's wonderful. Beautiful. So if you would please tell us about the last two tracks. You started to tell us a bit about Sedona and then Jupiter.
Yeah, like Sedona was just, you know, the vortex energy that people always talk about, that some can actually feel that when they're there. And I just think the place has really beautiful colors, especially at sunset, as the sun reflects off the red rocks there. And there's some mystical energy inside the galleries. And so I just wanted to capture a couple phrases here and there throughout my journey through Sedona. I've been there a bunch of times, and so that's what that song's about. And so Jupiter was an instrumental track that I was going to write a whole instrumental album. I decided, you know what, I think this is a good ending to the collection of songs in Premiere. So I tagged that on. I think it works well. And the song itself is titled Jupiter because I had a Roland Jupiter 6 that was one of my first keyboards. And I had one again recently and tracked some of the performances with that keyboard and some of the soft synth computer versions of those keyboards that you can get now in your computer. And I just wanted to write kind of an airy, instrumental soundtrack kind of song that I thought just worked well with the collection. So that's what those two songs are about.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being here to share your Premiere release.
Hey, thank you very much for the time and sharing my songs on the radio here. It's really nice.
Okay. Well, take care. And we're looking forward to your new music that's coming out.
Thank you very much.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. I would like to thank our guest singer-songwriter Jonathan Cavere for being here to discuss his latest Premiere release. For more information, visit cavermusic.com, and that's spelled C-A-V-I-E-R music.com. I would like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. To each and every one of you out there, thank you so much for joining me, Andrea Garrison, and connecting here online with Andrea. Listen to me live or listen to the archive. Just continue connecting heart to heart. But in the meantime, do whatever you can to reach out to help others. And never underestimate the power of a friendly smile. Take care as we close with the final two tracks from Jonathan Cavere's Premiere release, Sedona and Jupiter.
Trapped by the energy, crystals, oils, and canvas. Feel the Spanish galleries, layers in the rocks, colors across the sky. Sunset close to the heavens. The stars blind our eyes. Sedona, find yourself in this enchanted place. Sedona, free your soul, you'll never want to leave. We honor those who
systems filled with the spirits, like paintings of lost souls. So don't find yourself in this enchanted place. So don't free your soul.
Thank you for connecting to Online with Andrea with your host, Andrea Garrison.